And good morning and happy Saturday. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, where we discuss all your gardening questions, especially focused on all the wonderful tropical plants and the tropical plant world. Just a quick reminder, you can visit us at our Mixlr site and listen live at mixlr.com/toptropicals. Sign in to Mixlr and your questions can be posted right to our studio. Alternatively, you can call our studio 239-887-3323. That's 239-887-3323. And our studio staff will make sure your questions get to us live on the air. All right, so today, Saturday, our topic is, are we ready for this, Robert? The Green Erection, where we will discuss how music can help your plant growth. And to introduce our topic today is our own international certified crop advisor and weed specialist, Robert Reefer. Robert, to you.
Thank you. It has been well known since the Middle Ages that various sounds help plants to grow and even produce more fruit and flowers. This was first discovered mainly by Gregorian monks who had special chants. When they planted, they would have another chant when they would water and on harvesting, etc. Even nowadays, with our modern technology, there is a company out there called Sonic Bloom, which uses a sound generation device in conjunction with foliar feeding. Of special interest as well, I have been working for the past 11 years, now I'm in weed science, for an entomology department. And my very interesting observation was that how am I expected to spray insects with a large tractor and a tow-behind 500-gallon sprayer sporting about 110 decibels of noise and expect to be spraying the insects? The insects are very, very sensitive to vibration. So many times, whether you are attempting to have your plant grow or you are attempting a pesticide application, the actual noise and surrounding environment can play as crucial a factor as the pesticide or fertilizer that you are using.
All right, Robert, so let's get into this. You are saying that music can not only help your plant grow, but it might actually affect the pesticide. So let's talk. Tell me what kind of music and how should our listeners play it while they're gardening?
Okay, well, this is indeed a loaded subject. Now, for y'all, I am German, but there is one thing you should never play for your plants, and that is German opera. It is a contradiction in terms. Instead of calling it a bat, they call it Der Fledermaus. A fluttering mouse. Rock and roll is actually detrimental to plants, believe it or not, and I am a sincere fan of rock and roll music. The classics, particularly those using the string section, in other words, your violins, cellos, etc., are very good for your plants. In fact, on YouTube, there's Lindsey Stirling with some marvelous violin music. They like violin music, calm music. What this simply does is it opens little organs on the underside and top of the leaves called stoma and also parenchyma cells. This makes the plant more receptive to being watered, to getting fertilizer inside the plant, and even some of your insecticides. Rock and roll music, however, is detrimental. Now, talk to your plants. Sing to your plants. People who do this do not have a problem. They only have a problem when the plants sing and talk back to them, in which case it's time to seek some medication.
Seek help. So we're saying that music will help the plants. I think that answers the first question we had, was does it matter what kind of music I play for my plants? And I think you've answered that question with calm music, classical music, just like for the development of our children. So do we play the music through speakers in the garden overnight? What's the best way to try to get some music to our plants?
Okay, you can play it softly. It's not necessary to have the volume up high. And if you live in a condominium or HOA or in Pyongyang, you don't want to disturb your neighbors. So basically, you just play it very, very softly, very, very lightly. And this will be enough to cause the vibration and get those plants a-going.
Excellent. What an interesting topic. And I didn't know that you were internationally certified in Pyongyang as well. That's quite an accomplishment.
All you need to do is own a Kia.
Kia. So play music to your plants, sing to your plants, and you mentioned even the music could help the plants with the weed abatement. Is that right?
Weed abatement is somewhat difficult. However, I would recommend playing this nice, soft, classical music right before you herbicide, because this, in fact, will get those stoma and parenchyma cells we discussed earlier to open up on the weeds right before you poison them to death. By the way, one thing about weed control. Everybody thinks herbicide, herbicide, herbicide. If you design your garden appropriately, if you have the watering or irrigation system watering the plant of your choice and not the surrounding area for weeds to grow, in addition to using mulch, shade, etc., the goal is to not have to use an herbicide. And right now, of course, it's all in dispute that, you know, this herbicide is bad or that herbicide is bad, and if you've sprayed this or that, call your attorney, the whole nine yards. And unfortunately, such as anything else in the media nowadays or since the dawn of time, there is more misinformation than there is information. So, fortunately, we live in a semi-free society, albeit an Orwellian nightmare. So, you need to make these gardening and agricultural decisions for yourselves.
All right, before we move on, Robert, we always mention to our listeners the special of promotion of the week, and I want to mention, especially this week, we are in the midst of our Memorial Day sale. So this sale goes through the end of Monday, the 29th of May, Memorial Day. You can save 20% store-wide on your purchases with a $50 minimum order. In addition, we have some new specials of $5 and $10 items. We restock those frequently. You have your opportunity with no minimum purchase to jump in there and buy some special plants. And the thing about our sale for Memorial Day is 5% of any all sales using that coupon, which I'm going to mention, we will be donating to the Wounded Warrior Project, a true fantastic project to help our soldiers over this Memorial Day. So that code is HONOR2017. That's HONOR2017 to save 20% store-wide, as well as take advantage of some of our $5 and $10 plant specials. So, Robert, changing topics for just a little bit here, we have some other questions coming in. One regarding drought-tolerant plants. Do you have some suggestions for our listeners on what kind of flowering plants are drought-tolerant?
Yes, we have many choices. Take a look at our website. The Desert Rose comes to mind, Adnidias. These can do with very little water, and we have an absolute plethora of them. That means a lot. In addition, we also have the plumerias. We have bougainvilleas. We basically have a drought and heat tolerance section on our website. Now, our website is special and unique as not only being the finest in the world and hosting the number of plants and photographs, but you can actually navigate this website. That's the cool part about it. So please come take a look at the website, and don't forget, it costs nothing to shop, and you just might see something you like. So look for that special plant for yourself or for a friend by coming to the Top Tropicals website.
That's right, Robert. At our website, everyone will find all the different categories from flowering plants, drought-tolerant plants, flood-tolerant plants, whatever you need, we have it for you here at toptropicals.com. Robert, you mentioned with the drought-tolerant plants, plumerias. Tell us a little bit more about plumerias and what we offer our listeners.
Okay. In Florida here, we actually have these plumeria or frangipana trees. This is the tree that produces the beautiful flowers that you see the gorgeous Hawaiian women wearing as leis around their neck. They can grow up to 30 feet. However, we actually have dwarf plumerias on our website. And they are mainly hybrids of Plumeria obtusa. Well, these are cute little plants. I actually have one at my home. It's about a foot and a half high. Flowers prolifically. So just because you live in an apartment or you're up north doesn't mean that you can't have a beautiful tropical tree in your living room.
Well, regarding plumerias, we had a question here. Are there any plumerias that won't grow into large trees? I know you mentioned the dwarf ones. Are there any other varieties?
Well, don't forget, a plant will grow to the height that you let it. This is why we have pruners, lopping shears, and gas-operated chainsaws. So you can prune and trim your plumeria to the height you want. Now, these are all members of family Apocynaceae, which means they have milky sap. So be careful when you prune your plumeria.
And here's an interesting customer call-in question we got, Robert. I would love to have butterflies in my garden, but I don't want the caterpillars. Can I attract butterflies without having host plants? What say you?
Oh, you want it all, don't you? Well, fortunately, as we speak, TT Laboratories is coming up with a butterfly attractant chemical that will be all natural, and it will be called Butterfly Joy. It will be an astounding product just for the mere fact that we have been working on it for the past several months. Still don't have much success, but we are indeed getting there. So Butterfly Joy will be easy to use and will be a good butterfly feeder. So stay tuned for that and visit our Top Tropicals website for further announcements. TT Laboratories also sells other products to help your plants grow and make the gardening, make the joy of gardening even greater.
Well, I look forward to seeing that on our website. In the meantime, what can our listener do to attract butterflies and perhaps control the host plants, such as the caterpillars?
Okay, once again, play some soft classical music. This has actually been shown occasionally to attract butterflies. So you can do that. Now, as far as the caterpillars are concerned, it is a larval stage of the butterfly. The caterpillar is the larva, the butterfly is the adult. Just as an attorney is the larva and the politician is the adult. So, seriously though, play a little bit of classical music. They like shade. They do like a little bit of sugar water, but be very, very careful. We have many flowering plants that attract butterflies. Now, one other interesting thing. One type of plant acts as the nectar source for the adult butterflies. Other types of plants act as the host for the larva. So if you want butterflies without the caterpillars, get just the nectar sources as opposed to the larval sources. We have many, many plants that will act as this, that attract butterflies, and they are identified on our website. So once again, I kind of like the personal touch. To me, we're in too much of a computerized world as it is. I'm convinced that if it weren't for hormones between texting, Facebook, and all of the other antisocial media out there, that if it weren't for hormones, the human race would soon become extinct. But we have so many thousand plants here to show you that the only way to get it all out there to you is to put it on a website.
All right, Robert, let's talk cherries. Here's a question from a listener.
What kind of cherries?
Barbados cherries. How far apart should I plant my Barbados cherry bushes to make a nice full hedge? Now, there's some good question.
Okay, typically, let's say that you want a 5-foot hedge. Make sure that you are planting your Barbados cherries 5 feet apart. Whatever you have on the top of the ground, you normally have on the bottom of the ground. And Barbados cherry will make a fair hedge, but I would actually recommend the Suriname cherry, which we also sell here. When I lived in Miami back in the Stone Ages, we actually had a Barbados cherry hedge that we controlled anywhere between 3 feet high in some sections to where I had to cut it back when it started getting into the phone lines. So the Barbados cherry hedge will also reseed itself. So the Suriname cherry hedge will reseed itself. We also have both the red and the black Suriname cherry. So there's a cherry out there for everybody.
So there's a great tip on hedges. Whatever you have above the ground, you have below the ground. If you want a 5-foot hedge, plant your bushes 5 feet apart. Robert, let's turn to avocados. A couple questions regarding avocados. Everybody loves them. My avocado leaves keep turning yellow and falling off. What am I doing wrong? How can we correct this for a listener?
You're either overwatering or underwatering. In order to determine whether you are over or underwatering, is the soil dry? Is it very dry? Stick your finger in the soil. This is the best way of seeing how much moisture there is. Dig down a little bit, about maybe 6-8 inches. Is the soil surrounding it tremendously dry? If you take a trowel and the first thing you hear is splash, more than likely you're overwatering. So basically, the best thing around, you can buy all these mechanical sensors that cost tons of money, but the best way to test something is with your finger.
Excellent advice. And sticking with avocados, here's another question from a listener. Are there varieties of avocado that are resistant to fungus?
Yes, there are, and at present we are still investigating this. In South Florida, we are now having a tremendous problem with a disease known as laurel wilt. The avocado is Persea americana. There is a related species known as Persea. I'm probably bastardizing the species name, but I think it is Bourbonica. At any rate, Persea bourbonica, the red bay, is suffering from this laurel wilt. It is a fungus that is spread by a nasty insect that does not brush its teeth in between meals. The insects to the plants, and bear in mind, 90% of all insects are beneficial to plants. It's just that 10% that spread disease, eat the plant, and are highly malicious. Also, another bad thing about bugs is they tend to attract entomologists. But at any rate, we are still investigating, trying to see what the best resistant varieties of avocado are. But in the state, avocado trees in commercial groves are beginning to die, as well as the Persea bourbonica or red bay. Traveling to Miami one day through Tamiami Trail, I literally saw thousands of dead trees. So if you're up north, you're lucky. You don't have to worry. If you're down here in the south, be very selective as to your particular varieties, because we want you to be happy with your purchase. It helps for repeat business.
Very true. Let's switch gears here for a moment and talk mangoes. We know there's a lot of varieties of mango, and the question is, can any mango variety be grown in a pot, or does it have to be a dwarf variety? What's your advice?
You can grow mangoes in pots. However, the dwarf varieties are, of course, best. I have actually seen some ridiculous things. I saw one time a 12-foot-high key lime tree grown literally in a 1-gallon pot, and it was bearing. However, the object of the exercise, unless you like bonsai, is to grow a lot of fruit. You grow a lot of fruit by growing a lot of tree. So it's basically that simple. However, we do have many dwarf varieties of mangoes to choose from, once again, on our website.
All right, Robert, we have a variety of questions today all over the board. That's a great thing. Let's talk vanilla plants. The question is, my vanilla plant finally set a fruit, but it dropped it after a week. Can you tell our listener why and maybe what they can do?
Generally, it drops it due to drought. In fact, I was minding my own business last night on the couch, and I heard on the news report that vanilla, the world price, has gone recently from 30 euros to 500 euros per kilogram. That's approximately 2.2 pounds. And I guess the euro today is worth $1.10 or something like that. And if you don't like that, just wait 3 months and it'll probably drop to about 80 cents. But at any rate, the vanilla is somewhat tricky to grow, but once you get it going, it's absolutely fantastic. The major reason why this huge soaring in price of vanillas is because of the drought conditions in Madagascar, which produces 75% of the world's vanilla. Now, Top Tropicals will soon be producing a video on vanillas, where we will describe the technique on how to grow it. There are approximately one dozen awards since 1899 worldwide on the culture of vanilla. I have four of them. I'm trying for number five quite soon. And in this, we want to try and increase worldwide production of vanilla, because artificial vanilla, or the main vanillin, is actually obtained from lignin, which basically means they take wood pulp, extract a chemical from it, and bang, there is your synthetic vanilla. So basically, you're sucking on a 2x4. Real vanilla flavoring involves over 289 chemicals.
Wow. Well, I look forward to seeing those videos on vanilla, and it's quite an awesome resume you have, Robert, on the vanilla plant. All right, couple minutes left. Let's get to our last couple questions here regarding pesticides. What can I spray mealybugs with so it won't kill my butterflies?
Soapy water. I like Dawn dishwashing liquid, basically because they get all the oil off the birdies that wind up in the oil slicks, and also it works on kids who wind up in the oil slicks, and whatever animal you happen to have. But soapy water, that works excellently, and it's non-toxic. You're washing your dishes with it, and the soapy water actually suffocates the outer skin of the mealybugs.
Well, simple, informative answers, Robert. That's why people come to Top Tropicals. Listen, here's another question. You mentioned a few minutes ago a little bit about some fertilizers, and sunshine came up. You can tell us a little bit about sunshine, but as well, the direct question was, should I use sunshine booster on my plants when I receive them in the mail? Will it help them to recover from any shipping stress?
Sunshine booster indeed will help your plants to recover from stress. Don't forget, we grow the highest quality plants here and pack them carefully. Unfortunately, we are not a transportation company. So you've seen many of the things that get broken and mishandled in transit, you know, such delicate objects as anvils, rocks, lead sinkers, tires. So at any rate, yes, Sunshine Booster will indeed help your plants recover.
On that topic, Robert, let's talk real quick. Spend about a minute telling our listeners what their procedure should be. And of course, they can find this online at Top Tropicals. But what the procedure should be when they receive a plant from us in the mail as soon as they get that plant.
Number one, cut away from your fingers when you open up the package. And we have the exact directions on our website, as well as a video on how to unpack your plant. When it says this end up, that is the end, of course, that you do have up, so you don't have dirt all over your living room. In addition to which, is if your delivery company is anything like mine, you'll see this end up close to the porch floor when you receive your plant. So basically, take a look at the Top Tropicals website, take a look at our video, and enjoy. And make sure that you don't keep the box in the sun, and try and get that box as cooled off as quickly as possible.
All right, excellent advice. So, Robert, that'll end today's show. Why don't you introduce our topic for next week's Radio Top Tropical show?
The topic of our next show is going to be Clitoria, Amorphophallus, and other things that go bump in the night, where we will take a mature look at how some of these plants got their erogenous and erroneous names.
Now that is a tease. I look forward to our show next Saturday, June 3rd, And remember, there's only 3 days left in our Memorial Day savings sale. Use the code HONOR2017 and save 20% store-wide. Thanks, everybody. We look forward to our next broadcast next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Radio Top Tropicals.